How would I know what it means? And if I could answer this question, what constitutes the truly blessed person in this life? Well, if you can understand that today with me and we can begin to get a grasp on that, then you're going to understand Jesus a whole lot more in the Gospels. It's really the gateway teaching to understanding Jesus in the Gospels and what he's doing, and understanding at times why he seems so difficult and hard.
Hi there. Welcome to today's broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we are going to begin a series on the Beatitudes. You ever wonder what those Beatitudes are all about? And how do we actually live them out? I mean, some of them seem quite extraordinary. Well, as we begin our series on the Beatitudes today, hopefully we'll provide you with some answers along the way. We begin with Beatitude number one, happy are the broken. That sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? If you're broken, how can you be happy? Well, we'll explore the truth of this Beatitude today. We trust you'll join us as we begin this amazing series on the Beatitudes. Once again, with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace, our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon.
As you know, some of you know, I went camping with my boys the last few weeks, and we went through, you know, Utah and what are these states? We went through Colorado and Wyoming and South Dakota. The girls wanted nothing to do with it. I tried. They did not want to come. But we had a great time, and one of the things that I thought that captures something that we'll see in this series up front is a little experience that we had in going to hike around and look at graves and tombstones, which is what pastors like to do on vacation. And we hiked around in the Glenwood Springs, Colorado hills, and we found the tomb of Wild Bill Hickok. And then we went over to South Dakota, and we went to Deadwood. And no, that wasn't Wild Bill. Wild Bill's in Deadwood. Who's the other guy in Glenwood Springs? Doc Holliday. Sorry. Doc Holliday. So we saw both these tombstones. And, you know, kids are fascinated by this. The movies are made on these guys. And all the crowds are over at Wild Bill's grave. And I said, let's walk around and look at these graves for a little while. And there was Preacher Smith. Nobody was visiting Preacher Smith. He was the first preacher in the Black Hills who died of a gunshot going to preach the gospel. Nobody knows about Preacher Smith. Everyone knows about Wild Bill. What does everyone know about Wild Bill? He was a gambler and an outlaw. That's classy, isn't it? There's something about that that captures exactly what Jesus is doing here in describing the righteous and how backward everything is in the kingdom of God to the world. And this is one of the things you'll be able to explain to your children when you see things like this, as my boys heard the whole trip. It's important to talk about these things, and this morning I thought I would set that in front of you to show the two kinds of people and to show a great comparison and contrast that Jesus is making here to help us understand who are those that enter the kingdom of God. Beginning at verse 23 of Matthew chapter 4, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And there we'll end the reading of God's word. Really, the text this morning is the first beatitude of chapter 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, I thought this morning that it would be helpful to begin a short series through the Beatitudes. What inspired this was actually on vacation, some of the things that we have time to reflect and to think about. But questions I had about the character of those who inherit the kingdom of God. At times in the Gospels, you really feel, and maybe you've read Jesus and been confused by Jesus in many of the things that he emphasizes and sometimes the difficult words that he has, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. How difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus seemed to constantly press this on people. It's an important question when we consider entering the kingdom. How difficult is it to enter the kingdom? How do people enter the kingdom? Maybe more importantly, what kind of people enter the kingdom? Why these questions matter is precisely because everything of Jesus's kingdom ethic is backward to our natural thinking. And that's what concerns me. Am I naturally confused, naturally, as to if I look to Christianity and I'm considering Christianity, I'm considering what it is and what it means to be a follower of Jesus, am I naturally confused as to what that would be and to what that means? How would I know? And if God's ways are not our ways, then on this question, we're going to have to listen carefully to Jesus, because everything that is natural to us in our natural way of thinking due to the sinful nature about who we believe will be in heaven and who is blessed of God in this life will not be who we naturally think will be there and who is blessed. My questions really are, who is it that is truly blessed in this life? And what is that? What does that look like? How do we know? And what constitutes blessing? These are important questions, because they were big questions for the Jews, especially this issue of blessing. Jesus here speaks of blessedness. There's nobody who in this life doesn't want to be blessed. That's a great concept. That's a happy concept. But what is it really? What is it to be blessed? And again, what constitutes that? What does it even mean when we go and tell somebody, I'm blessed? Or that we pray to God and say, God, thank you for all the blessings that you give us. What is that? What are we really saying? What do we mean by these things? What is a blessed person? Who is a blessed person? Is it someone who has a lot? Is it somebody who can say today, my heart's full? Is it because I have a big family? Is it because I have lots of grandchildren running around? Is that the blessed life? What indicates blessedness? Pagans enjoy all these things. Pagans enjoy all these things. What is the blessed life? How would I know what it means? And if I could answer this question, what constitutes the truly blessed person in this life? Well, if you can understand that today with me and we can begin to get a grasp on that, then you're going to understand Jesus a whole lot more in the Gospels. It's really the gateway teaching to understanding Jesus in the Gospels and what he's doing, and understanding at times why he seems so difficult and hard. I suggest the Beatitudes are the kingdom description of something very important. He's describing those who have already entered the kingdom. It's a really important point. He's describing those who've already entered the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. The kingdom of heaven belongs to these. It's theirs by right. So I want to explore with you then in this series on the Beatitude, what that looks like. Jesus was obviously very concerned about the concept of being blessed in this life, going through a long tradition in history in Israel of the terms blessing and blessedness. It's all throughout the Psalms. Begins in Psalm 1, blessed is the man. And that theme meant a lot to David. David constantly talked about blessedness. So this was a very large, big theme in Jewish life. And I think we get an indication here of Jesus' concern in light of what is sandwiched between these Beatitudes, what I don't think sometimes gets the proper attention that it should. And that's why I backed up and read for a minute to give you an indication of, I think, what precipitated this. What brought about Jesus to start with the Beatitudes, which at times is confusing to people. In both Matthew and Luke, I don't think we can separate what comes from before with what incited this whole sermon. What precedes the sermon is this. And he went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, notice, and healing every affliction among the people. This is quite a verse. So that as his fame spread, they brought him, notice the list here, all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, and those oppressed by demons, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. This must have taken hours to do, days to do. People severely afflicted in this life. And as the Sermon on the Mount begins, Jesus sees the masses continuing to come. This is not ending. And so he goes up on the mountain and sits down. He wants time with his disciples. His disciples come to him. Here's what I believe is important here. What would they have thought about these sick people? Well, we know from Jewish thought, they would have generally thought these are the cursed of God. These are the cursed of God. And Jesus is, in all of his healing, what they might begin to think is that Jesus' ministry was simply to fix all the problems in this life, all the pains in this life, and to bring about the prosperity, maybe, of Psalm 118 of Israel again. And healing would mark those then in the ministry of Jesus who are the truly blessed in this life, if they're healed. You don't think that's been a big confusion in the church to this day? Oh, it's been a big confusion in the church. You walk down, you know, just think about our city. You walk to Lower Vaughan's. I said lower. I guess the higher Vaughan's is a little different. I think that's a little nicer. Lower Vaughan's seems a little rougher to me. You go to Lower Vaughan's and you look around. And my human nature, I see a lot of homeless. That's just Escondido in general now. I see a lot of sick. I see a lot of afflicted. By and large, human nature, those are the people the world leaves alone. Our politicians haven't helped these people. There's been great injustice to these people. But my own heart, they're not the people I want to be around. I don't want to be around them. Well, that's the front end of the Beatitudes. The back end here are the Pharisees. Does he speak well of them? Well, we know he would say they are those who have no need of a physician. But what kind of physician? The disciples would have naturally thought that the most educated, the most respected, the best scholars, those who held to the greatest positions of prominence in Israel, the Sanhedrin, are the blessed of God. And Jesus gives a thundering indictment. I'm telling you right now, unless your righteousness exceeds who you think are the greatest, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. They must have been stunned. He's greatly concerned now to teach them about who's truly blessed of God. Who is? How would I know? We don't have this recorded from Jesus and helping all these people with their problems, what we don't have in this section are the responses of the people, which is interesting because Jesus made a big deal about the responses of people when they responded well to what he did for them. And it made me think, as I was wrestling through this and looking through this section, who enters the kingdom of heaven? Who is going to heaven? Who enters it today? And so here's what Jesus does. He gathers his disciples around him, and he wants time with them, and he begins to teach them. And a beautiful little sentence is given here, and he opened his mouth. It's just powerful. Saying 9 times, blessed, blessed, blessed. We call these the Beatitudes, from Latin word beatus. The Greek word means to be blessed or happy in this life. It's a huge word for our present time, isn't it? I mean, this is intensely what everyone is thinking about. Everyone is seeking in our present life and in our present world right now about happiness. They're thinking about identity. They're thinking about, you know, think of the movies, the pursuit of happiness. And we have our ideas of what would constitute happiness in the American dream. What Jesus is describing here is how people in this life can indeed be truly and profoundly happy. But whatever Jesus is about to say, we have to realize, is something that will naturally challenge what constitutes, what we think constitutes true happiness. When we run around and say, thank you for being blessing. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for I'm blessed. What does that mean? What does that look like? Jesus' kingdom ethic is directly contrary to what we naturally think would bring happiness. In every way. So what am I talking about? Well, that's the crucial point. We need to think about what the Beatitudes are and what Jesus is saying here. But here's the problem. Naturally, and this has been a problem even in interpreting the Beatitudes, we approach the Beatitudes as a crucial point of the sermon. We tend to think that the Beatitudes are things that we must do to achieve and enter the kingdom of God. In other words, these are the entrance requirements into God's kingdom. Put it this way. I can answer it this way. Who do you think are naturally the most blessed in this life? Well, there's a whole history of philosophy on this point. The philosopher said the more virtuous you are, the more happy you will be. So the idea was that the better of a person you are, the more happy you will be in this life. And that's true in a general sense, I think. If there's more virtuous people than not, I think there's going to be a general happiness that comes about. But virtues here that Jesus talks about are not kind of the virtues the philosophers talked about. We're talking about the kingdom of God. The most general thing we think of being blessed in this life is to have, this is across the board here right now, this is right here. The most general thing we think to be blessed of God in this life is to have a life free of pain and sorrow and to have what we think constitutes the good life. Take Calvin on this point. We are obsessed with the idea of happiness. We naturally, so much so that we naturally regard as unhappy anyone who suffers poverty, want, sickness, who limps miserably through life, or who never has a good day's health, or who endures disgrace. How could someone be happy like that who is suffering? And I think that there's a reason there as to why he wants to take time to teach his disciples. This is a big, 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 big point. Whoever is hurting or whoever is hated, Calvin says, we cannot reconcile the idea of shame, poverty, hunger, thirst with happiness. So we are so tied to creaturely comforts that we cannot think of happiness in any other terms than whether life is going well and whether we are having the good life and the pain-free life and the blessed life. that's blessed. Here's the problem. Everything Jesus is about to say that he attaches this blessedness to, you'd never naturally say is blessed in this life. If I stood up here today and was severely afflicted, if I had to be rolled up here into the wheelchair, if I was all marred up, I'm not the kind of person you naturally would want to be around or have preach. Here's Jesus healing all these sicknesses of the people, and I think he's concerned that his disciples understand who is truly blessed in this life. They just got a better life, Jesus, didn't they? Sure they did. That's not what I'm talking about. They illustrate something. It's not in achieving a pain-free, hedonistic existence in pursuit of happiness. Because as you all know, the call of Jesus just doesn't fit that. There's a radical call of Christ was one of taking up a cross and following him and bearing his shame and reproach. Remember that in Hebrews? Let us go outside the city and bear his reproach. So when we say we're blessed, we may not be saying the same thing Jesus is. What is blessing? What is happiness? Are we blessed if we suffer? Are we blessed if our health fails? Are we blessed if the world hates us? Are we blessed if we lose the loved one sitting next to us? Are we blessed if, as Paul said, we are to be pitied at all and we are the scum of the earth? Are we blessed? Yet never say it. Well, here's some of the sweetest gospel statements in all of the scriptures by Jesus. What I mean is he's not giving you requirements to enter the kingdom. He's describing the characteristics and qualities that he is actively working within you that marks you as his children. Let me repeat that because I think that's really crucial to the sermon this morning. He is not giving you entrance requirements into the kingdom. He is describing the characteristics and the qualities that he's actively working within you that marks you as his children, and that's what makes you blessed. He is describing those who have entered the kingdom because of the fact that he is working in them to be made into his image. And what is that image? The one theme that penetrates all these Beatitudes is humility. Humility. How we stand out as salt and light in the world, as those who are in the kingdom. Here is how. And so we move to two of these surprising marks. I'm really focusing on the first one here just briefly. Who is truly happy? Jesus begins, the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Well, we are out of time today. We'll close today's program out. But look forward to seeing you next time we get together as we continue our studies here in God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon here on Abounding Grace. Questions, comments about the program, we always are delighted when you take a moment and reach out to us. You can do so by email, questions@agradio.org. Again, questions@agradio.org. Now, that may be the address, but you are more than welcome to send along suggestions, comments, praise reports, prayer requests, not just questions alone. Again, you can reach us at questions@agradio.org. You can learn more about us at agradio.org. Also, listen to past radio programs. Again, that's agradio.org. Or call us, 888-504-8805. Again, that's 888-504-8805. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit our website for those links to the platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. And then, as always, we are excited when our listening audience comes alongside of us financially, prayerfully, to help support the radio program. This is a listener-supported broadcast, and we are able to reach most of the United States as well as North Africa through your faithful partnership with us financially and prayerfully. We look forward to hearing from you and trust the Lord to direct you along those lines. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.